I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. This should be an interesting day for us as this is the first Sunday following the Epiphany. We're recognizing the baptism of Jesus, so I thought maybe this would be a good time for us to discuss a little bit about our own baptism. But there's a key piece of our baptism that I think sometimes slides past us. We kind of hear all these words, and then we struggle to live into the fullness of our baptism. Amen? I mean, there's some pieces of it that just seem like too much. And that's a lot to ask, I mean, the church and all. But let me say this. We're not the only ones who kind of struggle. Not everybody grasped everything that was going on. So in the book of Acts, we have this process of Paul in Ephesus, and he's dealing with some new people that are dealing with what it fully means to be Christian. So in chapter 19, verse 1, and halfway through verse 2, it says this: while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. Paul says to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" Good question for the first century, but it should be a very easy answer now. This far down the road, we should understand this. As Episcopalians, we should grasp this quite immediately, and I'll tell you why a little later, or remind you. But their response, although at that time was understood, it feels all too common still today. They replied this way: "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Oh. I suspect there might have been a reason why Paul was asking if they received the Holy Spirit. And I think it probably has something to do with the way in which they were behaving as followers of Jesus. Or maybe more specifically, in ways in which they were not behaving. See, because we think of the Holy Spirit in the Episcopal Church often. We talk about the Holy Spirit constantly. But in moments like this, when your priest, who can sometimes be mildly unpredictable, stands in front of you and starts talking about the Holy Spirit, we start thinking, oh no, what's going to happen now? And I have to admit, my first instinct as I looked at the readings, understanding, you know, looking at baptism, which is typically what we talk about in this season, but I really want to focus on this concept of baptism in the Holy Spirit. So my first instinct was we should go on full-on charismatic and just bring it, right? And I told a couple people, I said, we should just do an altar call. It's time we just start laying hands on the church so that they can receive the Holy Spirit, amen? Because without that, what are we? Really? We're just kind of here. Yeah, that's where we focus on our weakness and our brokenness and all the rest of it, that we just can't figure it out. And we're like, well, it's too much. I'm too tired. I'm too busy. I don't have time for all that. Well, you don't if you're under your own power. But you start moving in the power of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Things change, brothers and sisters. I can tell you that from personal experience. That's how a high school dropout ends up with a master's degree. Amen? That's a whole other story. I'll tell you sometime if I haven't already. But the fact of the matter is that's the Spirit of God moving. That's the Holy Spirit. That's how the church gets the work done. So, well, we'll let the Holy Spirit decide whether or not an altar call takes place, Father. But if it does, jump in. But the reality is, as good Episcopalians rooted in Anglican church, English and polite, we sometimes, I think, struggle to fully understand what it means for us. So rather than having an immediate altar call, which I'm not opposed to, by the way, let's have a little catechism class. How about that? Maybe it's been a while since you had one, and I got to be really honest, in this day and age within our own tradition, you maybe never had one. Am I wrong? Yeah. Prayer books. Pick them up. I want you to turn to page 852 of the Catechism. I think it's important for what's happening next. What I really want you to know and understand today is that you should be quite comfortable moving into the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't want the, sort of that normal response that we often get when another particular question is often asked, like Paul asked a particular question. When an Episcopalian is asked, because I've done it hundreds of times, to be really honest, their normal response is, I hope so. And the question that basic question asked of these Christians is, are you saved? And we're like, I hope so. No, you should know so. Now, if someone like Paul came in and said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were baptized? The answer is not, I hope so. Brothers and sisters, the answer is yes. Absolutely, 100%, you did. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute, but let's figure out what it is. 852, I'm going to read the questions, y'all read the answers with me. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, God at work in the world and in the church even now. Hold on to that. How is the Holy Spirit revealed in the Old Covenant? The Holy Spirit is revealed in the Old Covenant as the giver of life, the one who spoke through the prophets. Now, this side of the cross, how is the Holy Spirit revealed in the New Covenant? The Holy Spirit is revealed as the Lord who leads us unto all truth and enables us to grow in the likeness of Christ. How do we recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives? We recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit. We confess Jesus Christ as Lord and are brought into love and harmony with God, with ourselves, with our neighbors, and with all creation. And how do we recognize the truth taught by the Holy Spirit? We recognize truth to be taught by the Holy Spirit when they are in accord with scriptures. Now I want to work it backwards a little bit. The truth that we know in scripture about Jesus. What did Jesus do? Well, he caused a lot of trouble. He fought against the status quo, so much so that he was killed for it, but he never hesitated. He worked really hard with 12 people and 11 of them got it. But he kept moving. He went into towns and he preached and he shared the good news and the understanding that God's people were being called back to him, reconciled through Jesus in the time that would come. He healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, called the paralytic to stand up and walk, and raise the dead. Those are all truths that we know about Jesus, amen? And we know that because it tells us that in Scripture. Those are truths taught by the Holy Spirit. Now, third question. The Holy Spirit is revealed as the Lord who leads us into all truth and enables us to grow in the likeness of Christ. Now, I bet you thought being in the likeness of Christ just meant you were going to be a nice person. Nope. If you're going to grow by the into the likeness of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be a rebel. You're going to speak when nobody wants to hear what you have to say. If the people don't want to hear what you have to say, you're going to move on to the next group of people. If they won't let you speak it inside, you're going to go outside and speak it. When someone's sick, we're going to lay hands on them and pray that the power of the Holy Spirit will heal them. See, these are things we're called to do. To grow into the likeness of Christ. And I think sometimes we think the likeness of Christ is either too much for us to do, an impossible thing to reach, which, by the way, it is without the power of the Holy Spirit, but it's the call to do that. It's not just about being nice. It's not just about it's not even really, we've turned it into not necessarily about just being nice. It's we just won't involve ourselves in things that aren't nice almost, right? We don't challenge each other very much. We don't tell each other when we're concerned about your well-being or the direction we may be going in our lives. We live in a society where you're not even allowed to do that anymore. Amen? If somebody's off track, you're supposed to just say, okay, we'll just let them go. Hopefully they'll find their way back. Well, brothers and sisters, the world around us has lost sight of God. Again, it's not the first time. You can read that in the book. One of these days, it will be the last time, by the way. And then Jesus is going to show up. And those who know will know, and those who don't, won't. But the world out there has lost sight of Jesus. But there is this entire group of people, by the power of the Holy Spirit, having been baptized into his body, now carry with them the very power of God, so that this message that Jesus carried and the way in which he carried it can be given to the world still today. And you know who those people are? The church. And you know that's us, right? Good, good. So when we think about baptism today, we need to really think of our own. What is this really about? Why are we here? Well, you're here because God's called you to be on his team. He's called you to be in the midst of this world, yet moving by his power, so that the world can be transformed into what God intended it to be. And when we stand on the edge of it, we're really missing an incredible opportunity. I mean, how many people enjoy a little adventure in their life? Anybody? A little. Now, you want to take the big adventure without having to actually leave town? Dive into your baptism. Go full in with God. Know that you've been called. Listen to the Spirit of God moving in the church and through you personally as a member of the church, his body, and see what he might do. You want to find out where God is? Let him in here first. Let him in here first. See, because by your baptism, you have already received this understanding, or should have. You can prove it out by Scripture, just like your catechism tells you. What are the truths? They're right there in Scripture. The truth of the Holy Spirit, the understanding of how God moves. Keep in mind, by the way, that in this day and age, the new covenant in which we live leads us into all truth and enables us to grow in the likeness of Christ. Jesus isn't looking to make good people. Jesus is looking to build a team of warriors to fight the battle that's happening in this world, and you are the ones who have been called through your baptism to join this battle. That's what it means. Even now, that's how God is moving. That's our catechism. That's how Episcopalians see baptism. It's not just a thing we get done. It's a covenant that we make. And we're called to live into that covenant. And sometimes people are thinking, well, I don't know, you know, it's just sort of a water thing. But it's not just water, is it? It's water, and then it's an anointing, isn't it? That's what happens when we're baptized within our tradition. You are sealed by his Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. Every time I do it, chokes me up. to know that that person, whether they're a tiny baby or a full-grown adult, something's happening right now. And that something has happened for most of us in this building right now. I suspect the majority of us are baptized, amen? If you're not, come and see me, because we need to get you baptized, because you need to be fully armed for what God's calling you to, ready to do his work and his will, to be built up by the Holy Spirit into the likeness of Christ, which doesn't mean being polite at the grocery store, although that's a piece of it. It means seeing those who are hurt, damaged, broken, hungry, homeless, and taking care of them. It means taking a hold of the sick and praying for healing in the power of the Holy Spirit for their bodies, mind, and spirit. The church moving in the power of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, which indwells each and every one of us. We speak of it constantly. How many of you have been to church in a place that doesn't do weekly communion, and you get home from church and you're like, it was okay, but it felt like something was missing? You ever had that? I mean, it happens to me every time I go to my family's Presbyterian church, or the Baptist side, depending on who I'm with, and I come back and I'm going, that was nice. Do you know what you're missing when that happens? You're missing going through the process of literally taking in the very body and blood of Jesus through the sacrament, where we are strengthened by his body and blood through the Holy Spirit present in the bread and the wine. And that builds us up. It's part of the building up. Some people need a little extra, so they'll show up here on Wednesday at noon and come get communion again. We spend a lot of time going out to people who are sick or in the hospital or unable to leave their homes to take them communion so that they can continue to be built up by the sacrament of his body and blood, so they can live more fully by his power into their baptismal covenant. See, the church is called to move. Now, I know this is a very dangerous thing for an Episcopal priest to say and do, but you all understand this, amen? I know you understand it. I see God moving. I see God moving in you, and I see God moving through you. It's about living into the fullness of it. That anointing that we've received. I want you to go back and look at the collect for today. I guess I should tell you what page it's on. Shockingly, all the stuff up on the slides is in this book. Page 214. See, I want to encourage you all to live into the fullness of your baptism today. Because just as Jesus was placed into creation and took this baptism of John and received the Holy Spirit which descended upon him at the time of his baptism, those of us who follow him now, since he has been resurrected and ascended to heaven, the promise that he made before he went, he sent the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with us. In your baptism, just as with Jesus, the Holy Spirit descended upon him, at your baptism, the Holy Spirit descended upon you for the purpose of strengthening you to grow into the likeness of Christ. And I mean all of it. Not just the meek, mild, friendly guy that walked around on the countryside. The rebel who stood against the things that were wrong in society. The rebel who stood against the religious norm and said, this isn't the fullness of it. The one who called them out for ignoring the widows who it was their responsibility to take care of. That probably sounds a little familiar, right, from Scripture? The one who, when people were sick, he laid hands on them and they were healed. Do you know that Paul so much received the power of the Holy Spirit that if you go a little further in the book of Acts, I challenge you to do that when you get home, you'll hear that the power of the Spirit was so strong in Paul in this time, in Acts, that handkerchiefs and other things that he had handled, people would collect them and they would put them in other people's hands who were sick and they would be healed. Was it Peter walked along? His shadow. Peter would walk down the street and people would lay the sick along the edge of the street, and as his shadow passed over them, they would be healed. That's the likeness of Christ. That's the fullness of what it means. That's what the church is called to still today. Even now, our catechism tells us. Even now. Look around you, brothers and sisters. The world is in desperate need of hope. Anybody come here understand that Jesus is our hope? Is it your hope or is he the hope of the world? So if we are the ones who know, we are the ones who go. We're the ones who go and tell the hope of the good news found in Jesus Christ. We're the ones. It's us. Like it or not, it's us. Hold on to your hope. But gird your loins, because I don't know about you. I've lived for a few decades, well, 5+ decades. But things are changing. Now, this is what you need to know. I don't think I've ever felt the level of excitement that I'm feeling now. I know most people are thinking the world's turned into total, you know what, Father, right? I disagree. Get into your Old Testament. We may be getting down to the faithful remnant again. God is just waiting for us to stand up and say, Lord, whatever it costs, I'm going to do it. Whatever it takes, I'm going to do it. By the power of your Holy Spirit, I'm going to carry the good news of your gospel out to this world. Because this world is hurting. I think we all know that. I mean, just this past week, we had another 17-year-old child kill another child in a school. I only know one hope in that situation. That hope is Jesus Christ. No law has fixed it. No security systems in the schools has fixed it. No parenting class has fixed it. No mental health counselors have fixed it. Jesus can fix this. The problem is there's not enough people out there who know that. We know. We know. The victory is already his. We're just here to end the battles. Jesus can do that. So it's my prayer that you'll be encouraged and want to live more fully into that which God has already done for you in your baptism. Page 214, bottom of the page, first Sunday after the Epiphany. Let's pray together. And I want you to pray this, mark it on your own prayer book. If you don't have a prayer book, let us know, get one. If you can't find it, go to bcponline.org. And you can find it there in the collects. Just keep praying this over and over. Grab the smallest piece of it if you can and ask God to help you live into it fully as we prayed you would this morning when we started our service. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, who at the baptism of Jesus in the river Jordan proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit, grant that all who are baptized into his name may keep the covenant they have made and boldly confess him as Lord and Savior, who with you, Holy Spirit, lives and reigns, one God in glory everlasting. Amen. Grant that all who are baptized into his name may keep the covenant they have made.